Oh, Lord, we thank you, Father, for today. Lord, we thank you, Lord, for your goodness and your mercy, Father. And we thank you, Lord, for your presence that we want to become more and more and more aware of. So, Lord, we bless you and we just position our hearts to receive all that you want to release, all that you want to deposit on the inside of us today. Because you are an amazing God. And Lord, you love us so profoundly, so amazingly, Lord. So I thank you that today, Lord, we just position our hearts to receive more of you. Because that's all that we really, really, really need. In Jesus' name, amen. It was kind of funny when I was praying and asking the Lord what, you know, was on his heart to share today, because, I mean, I don't know about you guys, but there's so many things. I mean, the Lord covers so many aspects. He's so crazily amazing and multifaceted that sometimes, you know, it's just kind of like, well, you could share about this, I could share about this, I could share about this, I could share about this. But kind of referencing a little bit what Mike had shared last night, last week, I don't know if you heard Mike's message last Sunday, but that was an incredibly powerful message. But his heart was, I don't just want to share information, but I want to share the reality of who Jesus is. I just don't want to present people with, okay, there's some information. But I want to leave them touched with the presence of the Lord. And I believe the Lord is depositing that deeper and deeper on the inside of us so that we can continually become, I love that song this morning, become more aware of the presence of the Lord in us, because it's the presence of the Lord in us that's going to be the very thing that produces fruit in our lives that remains. Because at our mission training weekend last weekend, Josh and I had a time of just, you know, sharing and imparting a little bit on Saturday morning, and it was a really just awesome time of sharing and experience the presence of the Lord and opening our hearts up to become more sensitive to it. And I just read that morning, I had read just a little bit of John 15. And I don't know if you guys are familiar with John 15, but that's the scripture talks about, like, I am the vine, you are the branches. And in verse 4, it says, abide in me and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit. And here's the kicker. For without me, you can do nothing. And it's just kind of like that little subtle reminder of Jesus being like, just so you guys are taking notes, without me, you can't do anything. And not from a sense of, like, I mean, we all know that Jesus was the man because he was the Messiah. Like, he's the man. He's the one that all of us look to and position ourselves after. But he was letting us know in this moment, you know, as you remain in me, as you abide in me, as you become aware of my presence, as you learn to essentially just become more and more aware of my intimate presence with you, that's going to bear fruit in your lives, and that's going to bear fruit that remains. And one of the amazing things that the Lord was stirring up in my heart this morning was as we were worshiping, and I shared a little bit with you guys, but that I think that there's times where we actually sometimes forget the power of what we're doing. We forget sometimes, because sometimes we're so in it that when we actually come together and pray, like on a Friday night, they're not just words that fill a time of prayer. They're not just things that are like shooting from the hip and, hey, I hope this does something. Like, the Lord's positioned us to where our words are spirit and they are life. They actually produce an effect in the earth. And that there's a real authority that he's releasing on the inside of us to deposit and release. And the Lord's continually reminding me just simply that when we pray and when we speak out and when we declare, something happens. There's power released in the atmosphere. And as we become more aware of the Lord's presence on the inside of us and we release that, that changes the atmospheres and the places of everywhere that we go. And so this morning when we were worshiping, the reality sunk into me that we are actually, literally coming before Jesus this morning. That it's not just a mental concept in my mind of, okay, I know that this is the time that we go to church, and then we go to church, we sing songs, and then, I feel the sweet presence, and then we transition to something else. This is a specific set, unique moment in time where I'm able to actually, together with all of you, express my heart of worship to the Lord, literally where we're before Him. Like, that's crazy. that the Lord would even invite us into that place based on who we are and, the amount of times that we've screwed up this week. And one of the things that the Lord just like so clearly spoke to me this morning, and I read it out, is that from Revelation 4, like, there's a door open in heaven. Come up here. So in the midst of us and our lives and everything else that's going on, He's inviting us to literally come up. And sometimes, I know I forget, that we actually believe in this body that there is an invitation from God to come up to heaven. Like, a literal invitation, and it's not just figurative or in our mental. Like, He invited John to come up here, and when John came up here, he basically got the whole book of Revelation, which is one giant long vision that people have been trying to figure out for years. But I love what Pastor Bill says. If you actually just go back and you read Revelation, it says in the beginning, like, blessed are those who read this book. Yeah, they're blessed. Because half the time, mentally we're trying to figure out, what's the beast and the six horns and the 15 legs and, like, how's this all going to be? And there's 144,000, but obviously there's more people than 144,000, I partially promised Nikki this morning that I wouldn't talk about the end times. But that's an aspect of, I love the end times. But I know that the Lord's not calling me to spend like 15 hours in prayer a week to figure out who the Antichrist is. It's a waste of time. Like, He knows who it is. He'll let me know when the time comes. Like, I'm praying that it will be obvious. Great darkness on the earth. Great light. Okay. I think that maybe we can figure that out. In this ministry, if you stick around long enough, when the stuff starts going down, I think we'll know what side it's on. I'm praying that we would have eyes to see that. But I love that. And I don't think it's wrong. I mean, the Lord's not saying, like, Andy, don't come before me. And if you bring up Revelation, and who He loves to reveal Himself through that book. There's some amazing, amazing scriptures in there. It's so funny because I wasn't even thinking about Revelation in what. But that book, just reading that book alone is blessed. And the thing that I love most about that book is that it tells you the end. Like, this is what's going to happen. And I don't know how it's going to happen, but this is what's going to happen. Like, Jesus is going to come back, whether it's pre-trib or not. Who cares? He's coming back. And He's coming back with the church, and He's riding on a white horse, and He's got like a sword coming out of His mouth, and He's got like 18 names, and He's got one on His leg, and I love it. And some of you guys know this, some of you not. Like, one year we were in Ghana, and we were sharing, and we came to the book of Revelation, and we were sharing with our Kingdom Bible School students in our land in Ghana. And just on a quick side note, if you look back there where Teresa's at, there's a picture on the wall behind there of that large landscape picture. And that's our land in Ghana. And I like looking at that from up here because it's like, I know that what's being shared and released here in the Spirit is actually going in to that nation and country as well. And it's going to impact and touch and change things for the future. So we had a time when we were sharing about the heart of worship and seeing Jesus as He is and having revelations and encounters and experiences with Him. And this is so funny. I love our pastors. And so we got to this portion, and then Pastor Mary Pat was sharing some of these things, and she's like, and now I'm going to ask Andy and Peter to come up. And we had a chalkboard here on, like, you know, on the side that we would, you know, that they would take notes and stuff. And she's like, and they're going to draw something from, like, Revelation 17. And, I mean, I don't have to get into it now, but, like, Revelation 17 is talking about, like, Jesus with a sword coming out of his mouth, and he's got, like, seven crowns on, and then the beast is coming up out of the sea, and there's a banqueting table being prepared for the saints, and Peter and I are like, we're going to draw this? Like, so it's like, Peter, why don't you take Jesus and the sword coming out of his mouth and the many crowns, and I'll cover the beast coming out of the sea. It's just like, what? But in those moments, I'm trusting that the Lord is going to somehow use that to impact and touch and change somebody's life. Because the amazing part was, is that afterward, some of our Ghanaian students were actually sitting there and they were drawing in their books the pictures that Peter and I had drawn on the board. But that's all to say that that whole book, as we read it, the scripture talks about that we're blessed. But that whole book came out of an experience and an encounter that John had from a simple invitation of when he was resting in the presence of the Lord and he heard the Spirit say, come up here. And he did. And when he did, the Lord unfolded this amazing book of prophecy that essentially tells the end from the beginning and partially how it's all going to go down. Just from John's heart position to be in a place of rest to hear the Lord calling him and inviting him to come up. So very simple, small encounters of recognizing and sensing of the presence of the Lord can open up amazing things in our lives and our hearts. I mean, John was just on an island praying in the Spirit. But John had a revelation and an understanding of that when the Lord gave him that invitation of come up here, come up now, that he actually literally could do that. That his heart was so positioned of belief. He could have said, Lord, I can't come up to heaven. But he didn't. He responded because he believed that he was already seated in heavenly places. That's where we're seated at this morning. Ephesians talks about that. That we are seated in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Now either that's true or that's not. I don't fully understand that my mind goes, but I'm standing right here. How can I be seated in heavenly places if I'm standing right here? The Lord's speaking and saying, no, that's a spiritual reality. You are seated in heavenly places. And where the Lord's taking us in his presence is he's wanting us to become more aware of the spiritual surroundings that we're in. But he's teaching us through our corporate times of worship and our corporate times of prayer how we can actually, I believe, as a body, corporately, together, come into the place where we can actually enter in and experience heaven together. We can experience intercession in the heavenly realms together. And I believe that that's what the Lord has for this body, for what he's taking us into. It's no accident that he's putting a desire in our hearts for 24/7 worship and prayer. I don't know about you guys. Sometimes I'm like, how in the world is that going to work? Like, do I just worship you and praise you 24/7 and then like somehow a paycheck appears for doing that? To take care of other things? And the Lord's like, that's what I'm doing in the earth. He's raising up houses of prayer and prayer warriors and intercessors and worshipers to bring a song of heaven to the Lord that ultimately will usher in the return of Jesus. The song from the earth. And so I want to release over you this morning that each one of you has a song from heaven. Each one of you has a song in your heart. And part of that song is not only victory over your situations and circumstances in your life, but that song is an actual expression of your heart that as you release that in faith will actually bring about the return of Jesus. I don't know if you heard that. But the song that you express from your heart of worship in times of difficulty and pain will actually bring about the return of Jesus. It will speed it up. That's crazy. It's a song. But it's where that song, it's that place where that song is birthed out of. And so kind of what I want to share a little bit this morning is that, you know, this is Memorial Day weekend. So it's time that we take to remember those who served militarily and lost their lives, gave their lives for this nation. And I thought that it was similar to Veterans Day, but then I realized that Veterans Day still honors those that served our nation and gave time, but they're still alive. And we can honor the living. And so if you're here and you've served in the military in any way, shape, or form, we want to honor you. We want to bless you because we know that you have. Because that's a part of your life. That's part of your life. You took time out of your life to serve a bigger cause, which is our nation. And for that, we are grateful and we honor you for that. And if there's anyone else here and you've served and I haven't noticed, then bless you too. That's for you. But you sacrificed part of your life for a bigger cause. And so the Lord was highlighting to me and wanting to stir up on the inside of me that we need to remember. We need to have a memorial, not in a sense of, you know, that it's gone and passed away, but a memorial or a remembering of what the Lord has done in our lives and in our hearts, because it's those very things that will point us and show us in the direction that we're going. And it reveals to us deeper and deeper and deeper who the Lord is. And one of the things that, one of the accounts that I kept coming back to as I was preparing for this morning was the story of Jacob's ladder. Of that, here's Jacob, which is a very interesting Bible character. And that, how many of you guys know what Jacob's name means? What does it mean? Usurper. I'm not going to get into all that this morning. I just know that that's that's a whole interesting dynamic of Jacob, who his mom like dresses up to sneak into his dad, who's partially blind, so he can steal the blessing from his brother, who it was rightfully intended for, and somehow God worked that all out. I'm not getting into that this morning. I'm just getting into that here's Jacob, and he's going out from his father's house. He's just going along his merry way. He comes to a place. He lays down. He has a dream. I don't know if you guys want to, you guys can turn there if you want. It's Genesis 28. It said, "Now Jacob went out from Beersheba and went toward Haran. So he came to a certain place and stayed there all night because the sun had set. And he took one of the stones of that place and put it at his head. And he lay down in that place to sleep. Then he dreamed, and behold, a ladder was set up on the earth, and its top reached to heaven. And there the angels of God were ascending and descending on it." Just a quick side note. This ties into Revelation 4. There's an opening, there's a ladder, there's a doorway to heaven where he sees angels ascending and descending upon it. In verse 13 it said, "And behold, the Lord stood above it and said, I am the Lord God of your father and the God of Isaac, the land on which you lie, I will give to you and your descendants, and also your descendants shall be as the dust of the earth. You shall spread abroad to the west and to the east, to the north and the south. And in you and in your seed all the families of the earth shall be blessed. Behold, I am with you and will keep you wherever you go, and I will bring you back to this land, for I will not leave you until I have done what I have spoken to you. Then Jacob awoke from his sleep and said, Surely the Lord is in this place, and I did not know it. And he was afraid and said, How awesome is this place? This is none other than the house of God. This is the gate of heaven. Then Jacob rose early in the morning and took the stone that he had put at his head and set it up as a pillar and poured oil on top of it. And he called the name of that place Bethel, but the name of that city had been Love previously. So in this place, Jacob had an encounter with the Lord, where the Lord reaffirmed his covenant that he had established with Abraham, which was to fill that entire land with the descendants. Now, Jacob was a descendant of Isaac. And so the Lord's reaffirming to Jacob his promise here in this place, his covenant with him. And Jacob isn't aware, obviously, and he woke up from this dream. He said, surely the Lord was in this place and I didn't know it. And what I believe the Lord is creating and desiring on the inside of each one of us is he's wanting to bring a reality to us that he is on the inside. The kingdom of heaven is within. And as we become more aware of his presence, as we become more aware of who he is, as we become deeper and deeper in faith, believing that we are seated in heavenly places, then we know that we have that place of access on the inside of us. And that there's a place of divine encounter with the Lord in that place where we can actually come before him literally. And Jacob was so touched by this experience and this encounter that he actually took the rock that he slept on, he set it up, and he anointed it with oil. Like, why would he do that? And partially what the Lord was revealing and speaking to me is that he set up in that place to be a reminder to him of, this is where I encountered the Lord. This is where he spoke to me. This is where he released a revelation to me that changed my life. I'm marking this. Not only am I marking this, I'm anointing it with oil. I'm dedicating this ground to be a place to honor and recognize this is where the Lord broke through and did something. This is where he deposited something. This is actually where he reaffirmed a word to me based on my destiny. That wasn't even just, that was a place of a generational word. A generational promise. Jacob, in that encounter, received what had been promised to his dad. And it was going to be passed on from that place. And it so impacted him that he named it. Like, this is the gate of heaven. This is Bethel. Like, this is where this happened. He marked it. And we see the same thing happen as the children of Israel go on. When the Lord led the children of Israel to go into the promised land, when they crossed the Jordan River, how many remember that story? And the Jordan River was what? It was, they needed to cross over, but they couldn't because it was raging. It was kind of like a mini Red Sea. Thought it was the Jordan River, not the Red Sea. But what happened in that place was, is that they were making the Ark of the Lord was going to go in front. And on a really quick, I do go on tangents. I will come back. But on a really quick side note, if you go in and you look the Lord deposited this. Now I'm getting another tangent off that tangent. Quick side note. There are certain revelations that the Lord will release to you in your lives that are intimate and personal to you. And they're markers along the way. And there's sometimes where obviously the Lord takes us into places where he builds upon those revelations and those experiences. But the Lord sometimes has revealed something specific to me out of the word that isn't something that he specifically revealed to Rachel in an encounter that she had with him. So my heart is that I want to be responsible for what the Lord has revealed to me to release it to you. In the same way, Rachel has a testimony and experience of something else that's different in her life that she can release. There's something that the Lord's deposited in Rachel as far as a revelation from his word that I need. And that's how the Lord kind of works it in this corporate body. That he'll put something in Rick that I need, and then he'll put something in Bethany that Rick needs. But it's ultimately the Lord, because we all need the Lord. But it's inside each one of you. And so you're positioned here in a spiritual family to bless the family, because a family member always has something to give that helps the whole family go ahead and move forward. So if you're here this morning and you're thinking, well, I don't feel like I'm part of this family, that's wrong. That's not a lie, and you should just stop believing it because you're here for a reason. I mean, you are. That's why you are here, because there is something specifically that God's deposited on the inside of you that I need. So don't leave. I mean, you know what I mean. You always have a choice in the matter. But it's, I want to hear from you the revelation that the Lord's given you specifically that's touched and impacted you, because I know that that's going to create an atmosphere that will help this body move forward and even help us come into the place where we can go together to heaven corporately. So now back to just before the children of go and they cross the Jordan River. One of the things that Joshua got up and he said to all the people, he said, we're going to go and we're going to cross the Jordan. Now, before the children of Israel crossed the Jordan to go into the rest of the land to possess it, there were already some tribes of Israel that had possessed land on the side of the Jordan that they were on. So they already had their houses, they already had their villages, they already had their places. But Joshua says a very unique thing, and if you ever want to read into it sometime, just read Joshua in the beginning. But Joshua speaks to all the people and he says, all of the families, all of the warriors, all of the people that already have their land, once the Ark of the Covenant goes through, the people that have already secured their promise and their inheritance, they're going to go over first, and they're going to fight until all of you that are crossing over have your land. And that kind of blew me away, realizing that there are times where the Lord will call us in our lives to step out of all the awesome, amazing things that we are expecting and receiving from him. And it's not like it's from the place of like it won't happen, like he's not going to bring those things to us. But there's times where the Lord actually asks us to step out of ourselves and step into a place of warfare for somebody else so that they can receive their promise and inheritance. And when they receive it, then they are blessed, but I was blessed to be able to help them receive that. That's an amazing thing. And so, just before the priests go over and they take the Ark of the Covenant up to the water, Joshua makes this declaration over the people, over the warriors, saying they're going to go over in front of you and they're going to help you possess the land. So they go to the water, the priests touch their feet, the Red Sea, but it's not the Red Sea, it's the Jordan River. Thank you, Lord. It parts. They walk through on dry ground. And as they walk through, what do? They pick up stones along the way as they're crossing through. And there's a stone for every tribe. Every tribe, as they walk through, gets a stone. And when they get to the other end, they set up those stones as a memorial. And then the water comes back over and they go in and they possess the land. And part of the reason why they set up those stones, and the scripture talks about it, is they set it up so that it could be a memorial. So years later, when they're walking along the Jordan River and the kids are with them and they're like, why is that pile of stones over there like that? And they can say, that's where the Lord came through and parted the land for us to go through and over into the place of inheriting our promise. That's the marker. That's a reminder. This is what the Lord has done here. One of the reasons why the Lord actually instituted like Sunday or the Sabbath is he instituted that to be a remembrance for the Jewish people that he brought them out of slavery. It's like, the Lord said, I just want you to take one day of the week to remember what I brought you out of. Take one day, set it aside to me so that you can honor me for what I've done for you. Because don't forget, don't forget, don't forget. Remember what I'm doing, remember what I'm releasing. And so as these things were stirring in my heart, I realized that like each one of us has something. Each one of us has a personal, an intimate relationship with the Lord that he is constantly bringing us into the place of growing that desire deeper and deeper and deeper on the inside of our hearts. And one of the scriptures, and if you could put that up, Angie, is in Psalm 22. If you guys wanted to go to Psalm 22. Are you guys encouraged today? Obviously, it's up there too. And if you ever want, again, this is another side note. If you ever want an interesting read, read Psalm 22, because essentially it's an amazing psalm written by David. But in it, he expresses the heart of Jesus and what it was like for Jesus to experience going to the cross. It's really an amazing prophetic psalm where there's many, many prophecies that are actually fulfilled by Jesus in this psalm. And so in verse 27, it says, "The ends of the world shall remember and turn to the Lord, and all the families of the nations shall worship before you." If you can go to the next one. "For the kingdom," well, yeah, I'll jump to here. "A posterity shall serve him, and it will be recounted of the Lord to the next generation that will come and declare his righteousness to a people who will be born, that he has done this." For lack of a better word, posterity means generations after. "Shall come and they shall serve the Lord. And it will be recounted of the Lord to the next generation." And what this psalm is speaking is that as we, like the children of Israel, have those stones set up in our lives, you know, that we can point out and say, this is where the Lord came through. This is what the Lord broke through. This is where the Lord did something. This is where he established something on the inside of me. This is a reminder of what he's done. And just like those stones were set up on the bank of the Jordan to remind the children, so the Lord setting up things on the inside of us, a testimony that we can share, that we can release, that we can impart to our children. Because there's going to be different mile markers in your lives here that the generations after will look to and they'll say, "What's that? What's this? What did the Lord do there?" And each one of you have a unique, specific, and even you're going to have more than just one, a unique, specific testimony of what the Lord is releasing and doing in your life and your heart. And some of you, it just might be a revelation or an encounter like Jacob, where it so marked him that he was changed forever. So despise not small beginnings. You don't want to minimize any little nudging or moving of the Holy Spirit in your heart, because that could be the very thing that could be a breakthrough for you that will not only affect you, but will affect generations after you. And the Lord's setting that up to be a reminder. And one of the amazing things that's, I guess I'll share with you one place that I can look at in my own heart, in my own life, that I can look to as a for lack of a better word, not a milestone, but a marker where I know that something was released from heaven that has touched and changed me forever. And that moment is that I believe that each one of us in our lives have been blessed, whether you're here, whether you're not, whether you're listening, that each one of us in our lives, if you're here, there's somebody, I believe in your generational line that has opened up a door. I don't know how far back, but they've opened up a door for something to be released on the inside of you from heaven. And one of the things that I can think of and that I'm very thankful for in my own life is the godly heritage that has come before me. And one of the experiences that I had is that a couple years back, my grandfather passed away. And he was an awesome man of God, and he loved Jesus, and he just had a great, intimate heart for the Lord. And I remember there was one night where he was kind of had a sense that it was nearing the end. And there was a time where my brother and I, we went over and we were worshiping. My brother broke out his guitar and we're just singing and we're just worshiping. And as we were in this place of worship, and my grandpa's lying on his, bed kind of in the living room, and my brother's just singing, and as I close my eyes, I actually see a literal, like, open heaven over my, over the place I was in. And I saw essentially angels coming up and down, and they were around, my grandfather, and they were around in the room, and it was just amazing. And as we were worshiping, the Lord, he spoke so clearly to me, and he said, Andy, there are sacrifices, there are difficult decisions and choices that your grandfather made for my kingdom. And because he made those difficult sacrifices and choices for my kingdom, it's actually opened up a door of blessing for you in your life to walk through. And when you go to Mozambique, when you go to Indonesia, I haven't even gone to Indonesia yet, but when I go to Indonesia, when I go to India, when I go to these places and actually see people come into the kingdom, see people touched by heaven, seeing heaven invade earth, the Lord spoke to me so clear, and he said, Andy, part of that harvest is going to your grandfather's account because of the choices and decisions that he made that actually opened up a door for you to step through. And that drove home to me the power that our decisions have in our life. Decisions for the gospel, decisions for the kingdom. Because his phrase that he always spoke is, there's one life that will soon be passed, and whatever you've done for Christ will last. That's it. And what I realized was that his sacrifice opened up those doors, and it just blew me away, because it's, Lord, I'm stepping into things that I don't even necessarily deserve. I'm stepping into things because he stepped into them. So how much more powerful are you seated here today? Whether your kids are here or not, the decisions that you make will open up doors for generations after you to come into a deeper knowledge of who Jesus is. That is an amazing honor and privilege. That is what partially gets me up every morning. Because I know that the kingdom can be released through me through a decision that sometimes challenges the heck out of my flesh. That there's fruit that remains on the other side of it, and sometimes we can't see it, but I'm asking, Lord, I want eyes to see it. I want ears to hear it, because I know that you're releasing and you're doing something in the earth. And one of the things that amazes me the most is that the Lord is going to reveal his glory in the earth. And he's not just going to come down sovereignly and be like, bam, I'm Jesus and I'm here. He can do that. He showed up as a baby. He walked on the earth. He was anointed by the Spirit. He healed the sick, cleansed lepers, raised the dead. He and 12 people changed the earth dramatically because he showed up. And when he comes back, he's going to show up. Yes, he's returning, but he's going to show up in the earth through us. Through us. Through us, because we're his body. Because we're anointed by him. Because the Spirit of the Lord is upon us. Because he has anointed us to preach the good news to the poor. That's why we were created. So day in and day out, I can actually release the knowledge of Jesus in the earth in my life, whether I'm at work or whether I'm not, whether I'm doing something spiritual or I'm not. Because that's what I was called to. That's what I was destined for. That's an amazing, incredible honor and privilege. And the enemy in that wants to steal that away from us. He wants to steal that revelation and knowledge away from us. And one of the things that he will throw against us in our life to steal that from us is heartache and pain and disappointment and loss and frustration and tragedy. And those things stink because we weren't created to experience those things, because the Lord created God and the Lord created God, of course. He created Adam and Eve in the garden, and he didn't create death. He didn't create death. But he gave an opportunity to Adam and Eve. He gave them a free will and a free choice so that we wouldn't be mindless robots and be like, I love Jesus. Because the Lord wanted lovers. He wanted a family. So because of that, he released free will. That is such a powerful thing, free will. He could have easily made us robots, but we're not. Thank you, Jesus. And he doesn't desire for each one of us to then, once we come to know him, to become like similar robots where, yes, we're all doing the same. Yes, we're all doing the same thing. We're believing the same thing. But each one of you are a unique expression of who he is. Like Christy's not Nikki and Nikki's not Christy. And both of them are happy about that. Because, and I love this frame that there's a redneck prophet that I love, and his name's Larry Randolph. And one of the things, one of the most profound statements I ever heard him make is he said, many are born an original, but they will die a copy. They will die a copy of somebody else. They're born an original, unique creation of God. And yet they spend their life trying to be like somebody else. Now, the scripture does call us, and to me it's been an anchor verse in my life. He does call us in scripture to imitate those who have like faith. So we're supposed to imitate those who have like faith. But it doesn't mean that we become exactly like them, but we can imitate their hearts of, I'm standing and I'm contending and I'm believing that the Lord's going to break through. Because the Lord didn't create us to be the same. Because he created us to be unique individual reflections of who he is. And if you're trying to be like somebody else, then you're denying me an aspect of a reflection of who God is. Because you're not actually being yourself. And who knew that actually being yourself can reveal who God is? Now, that's not to take it to liberty and like, well, I'm being myself and I'm mad today, so I'm reflecting the righteous indignation of Jesus. Like, there's wisdom in that. You can't just take like that statement and then go liberally and be like, well, I'm just feeling how I feel. I'm just being myself, being negative and angry, because obviously the Lord is negative, never negative. The Lord, he has no negativity in him. It's actually impossible for him to be negative because he's God and he's positive, not negative. But each one of us were created to be a unique aspect and reflection of him. And in that place of the enemy throwing junk at us in our lives, sometimes James talks about, consider it what? Pure joy when you go through trials. Like, you almost read that sometimes and your flesh is like, why is that even in the Bible? But that's an actual reality and truth that the Lord makes possible for us. It's amazing. That's a reality that we can actually step into. But it's something that the Lord can birth on the inside of us, because we don't naturally have that, because apart from him, I can do nothing. I can't produce in my own strength something that Jesus can supernaturally produce in me. If I try to do that, I will get incredibly frustrated and annoyed. And I'll wear out. Because I'm trying to make, it's like trying to make fruit happen. You're like, pop. It just doesn't happen. Like, you know, you just concentrate all your energy and you can't do it, because it's the Lord doing it in us. And so one of the amazing things that we have, and I was sharing this with Nikki last night, and I love it. And it was another simple revelation that the Lord released on the inside of me through a Patricia King teaching in Glory School. And I don't know if you've been in Glory School, but Glory School is amazing. But there was one little revelation that she shared in there. And it was essentially that Jesus finished everything on the cross. So the enemy is completely 100% defeated. Like the book of John, we know it's over. I mean, book of Revelation, we know the end. It's over. He's done. So the enemy is defeated. That's a scriptural reality. He is done. He is finished. And when we get to heaven, there's no more death, there's no more sickness, there's no more disease, there's no more battle, there's no more fighting, there's none of what afflicts us and comes against us here. Because it's already finished. So my time on earth is the only time in all of eternity that I have the opportunity to face situations and circumstances of loss, heartache, pain, death, depression, everything that the enemy throws at us. I have a short time on earth, which is this time. And this is the only time that I can receive the supernatural power of God on the inside of me to give me an ability to overcome it in my life, to where it's a testimony of and a reflection of who God is. Like, God is showing us who He is by enabling us to overcome things in our life that I do not have the natural power to overcome. That's amazing. Like, I only have one chance to prove that. I only have one chance to show that. I only have one chance to experience that. And that's now. And so there's times where I don't want to waste time. And sometimes I don't necessarily see it because the enemy's blinded my eyes to see it. But I don't want to waste time complaining about it. Because if I'm complaining about it, then I'm actually robbing God from the opportunity of demonstrating who He is in the earth through me. Like, I got one shot. And what I love, and I was telling Nikki about this last night, there was a time last year like where our board got together and we had a weekend. And the one night, we just sat down and we told stories. And we just told stories and we were laughing and it was hilarious and there's all kinds of mission stories and there was just stories upon stories upon stories and we were just cracking up. We were laughing, we were remembering, we were recalling all these difficult and sometimes unique and crazy experiences that we'd experienced together. And some people weren't there and some people were, but somehow as a collective, you know, group, we were testifying of what we had done and what we had experienced together. And it produced I don't know about other people, I know me. It produced on the inside of me such a joy, such an appreciation to the Lord that He's actually blessed me with a spiritual family that I can go throughout the earth with and experience amazing things from heaven, to where I can sit back in a time like that and we can say, remember this, remember this, remember this, remember this, remember this. And it produced such a, ha, 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 this is awesome. And you could sense the presence of the Lord there because He's like, I know, I love it. I created you all for that. And it's just kind of like, just through us sharing those stories, it was like the Holy Spirit's just in there like lathering us up and being like, yeah, I love it, 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 because I created this awesome, unique thing that's happening right now, which is family, through shared experiences in the Spirit. What the Lord showed me this weekend is He's like, when we get to heaven, we're going to experience that, like times a billion. Because we're going to get there and we're going to be like, remember when we were on earth and everything stunk and like the Antichrist was rising and everything else was happening, but like we were in these times of like seeing food multiplied and deaf people got healed and the dead were raised and a whole bunch of lepers got cleansed and, you know, and we're going to start being sharing those stories and those testimonies and like, remember on earth, like how many years ago that we actually thought that like it was crazy that we didn't shower for 8 days in Mozambique, but then this awesome outbreak happened in this village and this person without an eyeball can now see and because we're going to be in heaven. So we're not going to, but we're going to be remembering and recalling all these amazing things that the Lord did, to where I believe it's going to produce on the inside of us joy that's just going to last forever. And the Lord's going to be like, I know. He's like, I did that. I used you in the earth and I loved it. I loved it. I loved it. So I'm looking forward to like story time in heaven. Because how many guys like stories? I love stories. Like, I love stories. Love them. Testimonies. But I mean, for me, I think it's all right for me to ask, hey, Lord, when I get to heaven, I want to hear every single person that's up here's salvation story. I want to hear every single person that's up here, what you did in their life. Every single one. And we can do that because we're outside of time. I want to hear every single person's song from their heart, birthed in a place of pain and heartache. I want to hear that. I want to have a time before the throne where I get to hear somebody's song from a place of sorrow in the earth that released a breakthrough that changed their lives and the lives of the people that came after them. I want to hear that. I want to sense it. I want to feel that. I want to experience it. I want to know it. And I don't think it's wrong for me to ask that, because they're part of my family, because we're all brothers and sisters. And the Lord's calling us actually to go out and free other people so they can hear their song. I love that. Oh, it's amazing. Like, this is the only chance we got here on earth. So, like, there's times where I waste time. I shouldn't waste time. I shouldn't do it. We do it. You know, like, redeem the time because the days are evil. That's great, Lord. I don't know about you, but I'm now 35 years old and time is flying. Like, it is getting fast. And then I think back on, like, sometimes this just boggles me. You know, like, maybe 120 plus years ago, like, you couldn't even fly places. You know, it was just like you had to go somewhere, you get on a boat, and then, you know, go across the ocean. And if I'm wrong about the flying, just somebody correct me, but I think there wasn't any flying. But I mean, in the last 120 years, we've seen the most incredible acceleration of knowledge on the earth that is insane. I mean, who knew that, you know, oh, look, I have this phone that has, you know, everything. I won't go on my Mark of the Beast tangent. I'll spare you that. But, just food for thought, take it before the Lord. Just, I'm a fan of Apple, but as somebody once pointed out, if you see that there's a bite out of it, who bit? On a quick side note, another tangent, but one of the amazing things that I'm not worried about, and it's actually the grace of God, because naturally speaking, I would be worried about. Because I remember when I was younger, I was worried about that Jesus is going to come back. Like, I heard a loud jet overhead, and I'm like, he's coming back, and I'm not ready. Because I saw some, like, weird rapture film of, you know, from the late 70s, where all of a sudden you wake up, and you're like, what happened? They're gone. Christy even knows the song. But the Lord supernaturally removed that worry from me, because I believe that as great darkness happens on the earth, I mean, on a Friday night we had a, you know, the all-night prayer, and Tom shared a vision that Rick Joyner had about America, and about how, you know, he saw, like, long story short, the foundations of it, like, you know, burning, and how they needed addressed. But there was still hope in that the body of Christ had the fire hose to be able to release. So one of the things I keep coming back to is, like, when there's great darkness on the earth, a great light's coming. So the Lord's positioned us strategically in the earth to be able to demonstrate who he is, even if the crap hits the fan in the United States. He will. He's equipped us, so we don't need to worry about it. Like, he'll multiply food. He'll take us to places. He'll give us, like, supernatural protection from any potential invader or groups of people that are, like, going around with guns looking for gas because they need to power their cars. I mean, I'm not going to get into all of that. Bottom line, the Lord is giving us a supernatural grace so that we don't have to worry about it. As we spend time with him and in his presence, that's going to be the very thing. And so, it's going to be that awareness of who he is, and it's going to be that those milestones and markers and those memorials in our life as far as what we're doing. And I know specifically that the Lord can produce for each person here. You might be in a place of extreme pain and heartache, or you might have things that have come against you, or you feel like your finances are being robbed from, and all different kinds of things. Those are the proving grounds for Jesus. And one of my life verses is not there, but it's, if you could put it up, it's Ephesians 3:10. I just love this verse. To the intent that now the manifold wisdom of God, or multifaceted, many-sided, wisdom of God might be made known by the church to the principalities and powers in the heavenly places. That the Lord uses us in our lives to display to the enemy who he is. God could just show the enemy, I'm God, you're not. I defeated you. But God moves into the place where he uses humanity, who he created in his image and likeness, who the enemy tricked and deceived to the point where we fell. And where the enemy tries to exercise his biggest strength, which is to crucify Jesus, Jesus uses that very thing to free humanity from the grasp of the enemy, and then basically like rub it in his face. Like, see these people that you thought that you like convinced and deceived and tricked and all of that? Well, I just bought them back to myself, and now I'm going to use them to show you how awesome I am. I love that. Because I realized that didn't come from me. I don't have the ability on the inside of me to do that. But I do have a supernatural ability from Jesus on the inside to let that life be released through me to where it is indicating to the enemy who Jesus is. So I heard two things this morning for each one of you here. And one is that the Lord is calling you to store up not only treasure in heaven, but he's asking you to store up memories in heaven. The Lord's calling you to store up memories of breakthroughs of your life here that you can recall in heaven as far as it's a place where you came in. We sang it this morning about the 24 elders, and I read it. How they were before the Lord and they were casting before him their crowns. What I believe part of those crowns that they're casting before him is they're casting before him the testimony of what he did in them. It's like they're presenting to him, this is my worship. This is what you've done in me. I'm putting it before you. It's yours. This is what you've done in me. Here you go. So that's one, is that he's wanting you to store up treasures in heaven. And the second thing is that he has, not he will, he has deposited a song on the inside of you that will release victory in your situations and circumstances. When you feel like you don't have something on the inside, you really do, because he's not a God far away, he's a God close at hand. He's on the inside. And sometimes it's just a matter of faith. Sometimes you might not even feel it. And I've experienced something else in my own life where, you know, as many of you know, Nikki and I are standing and believing that we're going to have kids. Like, that is a promise that God has given us. We believe that. And there's times where it seems like the enemy's challenging that, and it seems like it won't happen, and X, Y, and Z. And so there's been times in the place of standing and contending for that promise where we have experienced heartache and loss. That I remember that there was one time that I was sitting in Leslie's kitchen, and I was just sitting there by myself, and all of these thoughts were swimming around my head, and the enemy was kind of like, you know, see, the Lord's not good, and he's not going to come through, and all these other different things were just coming at me, based on the situation as far as what we had just experienced. And as I was sitting there, I don't even necessarily know how it happened or what I did, but it's just like I just stepped into this place of rest. And as I stepped into this place of rest, this song came up in my heart. And I began to literally sing it out of my mouth. And it was very simple, and it's like, I've got joy in my heart, deep, deep, deep down in my heart, because Jesus gave to me and no one can destroy it. I have joy in my heart, deep, deep, deep down in my heart. And that song in that moment from heaven broke those thoughts coming against me. And I realized in those moments, I have joy. I possess it. It's mine. And I can supernaturally receive it right now. I can't beat myself up and say, Andy, you're feeling all these things, like, make it happen. But I believe now where the Lord's calling us on the earth is, yes, there's times to step into the place of battling and confronting and challenging the enemy. And those are powerful, and there are times where the Lord calls us to do that. But I believe, too, that there are also times where the Lord calls us to very simply, instead of moving forward to attack, he actually calls us to step back into a place of worship and rest and confidence in him, and that he will do it because the battle is the Lord's. And in that place where I'm not fighting, but I'm just resting and I'm receiving, he actually releases a song through me that will destroy the enemy in his attack against me. And it wasn't like I consciously did it. I just positioned my heart to receive it. So the Lord is teaching us how to war, how to release. That's why worship this morning is so powerful. That's why I get encouraged when we all come in here, because I know that there's always the potential for something from heaven to be released as we gather together. And I also know that there's times when you're alone and you're by yourself and you're experiencing some of those pain and that heartache and those different things. I know specifically that there is a place in the presence of the Lord that he is uniquely, specifically carved out for you to step into, to receive a song from him that will break it. And it doesn't necessarily even have to be like a vocal song, but it will be something from him. It will be a word. It will be a sense. It will be a release of his presence that will actually empower and enable you to move forward, and you will move in an opposite spirit despite what is coming against you. And you realize that we can overcome the enemy by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of our testimony, and that we love our lives not unto the death in Revelation 12:11. Like, the Lord's given us that. So stand up. Because you're seated in heavenly places. Holy One. So, Father, right now, simply, Lord, we just become aware of your presence right now, Lord. Lord, you are here in the midst of us. Lord, you promised in your word that you will never leave us. You will never forsake us. So, Lord, any negativity, Lord, any depression, Father, any negative emotions, Father, anything that we've stepped into and that we've embraced, that, Father, that has blocked your song from coming forth out of our heart, Father, we just lay it down in your presence right now. Lord, we repent, Father, for any limitation that we've placed on you, any limitation that we've placed on our hearts, Lord. And we just open ourselves right now to receive the atmosphere of heaven, to receive the song of heaven, Lord. And Lord, I thank you that you are creating milestones, reminders in our life, Lord, of who you are and what you're doing, Lord. And I thank you that the battle, Father, is not ours. It's yours. And that really and truly, Father, it is finished. It is finished. Thank you, Lord. If I could just have the worship team come up. And if you're here this morning and you're sensing in any way, shape, or form that the enemy's stolen that song from you, I believe that God is here to restore. He's here to restore that. Because you are an anointed child of His. And how dare the enemy come against you? How dare he come against the blood that marks your life, that you are His? So no matter what you're standing for or what you're contending for, if you want to see, you want to see that song wholly restored, if there's some of you here, you might not be able to say, well, I have this specific time where I know the Lord broke through, or you're needing prayer just to agree, somebody to agree and stand with you for that which you're believing the Lord for. I'm hearing Him say, don't be discouraged, because I am breaking through on your behalf now. Holy One. Lord, I thank You that, Father, that this is the only time we have on earth, Lord, to prove and to demonstrate who You are. And Lord, we know that You will release that reality through us. Holy One. So if that's you and you're here and you want prayer for that, I just encourage you to come to the front. Holy. Where you want that roar of the enemy to be silenced. And you want your song of heaven to be released. Lord, I thank You, Father, for that specific song, Father, to be released. In Jesus' name. Holy One, Lord, Your presence here. Your presence here, Lord, restoring. Restoring, Father, in Jesus' name. Thank You, Lord. And if you're not in that place of needing that song restored to you, I'm just getting a sense from the Lord to ask Him, what memories would He like for you to store up in heaven? And I believe that as you ask Him, He's going to begin to reveal, He's going to begin to show you the different things that He's deposited on the inside of you to carry throughout the earth, to be a reflection of who He is, to be a reflection of His name. So Lord, I thank You, Father, for that being released as well. Lord, the destiny and the dreams of heaven. Thank You, Lord. Thank You, Lord. Holy One. And we're just going to sing a little bit, and however it goes is however it goes. But I believe that the Lord has equipped each person here with a song. And you might be thinking, and some of the enemy might have targeted some of you, and you might think, well, I don't sing very good. It's not a matter of whether your voice sounds good or not. It's what the Lord's deposited on the inside. So as we enter in here, I just encourage you, in whatever way, shape, or form, just begin to express your heart through your voice to the Lord. It might be a little simple prayer sung. It might just be an utterance from your lips out. But I just encourage you to stir that up. Stir that up on the inside of you and just begin to express. Ho yanana ye he he. Thank You, Lord. Ho yanana ye nanasha ye. Ho yanana ye dia yanaya. Yes, Lord. Ho kanyanana ye shatada. Yes.
No song sweeter than the song. to you. I surrender all of my dreams, all of me up to you. I surrender everything, every part of me all to you. I surrender.
Lord, as we go, Father, here today, Father, we know, Lord, that we don't go alone, we don't go empty-handed. Lord, I thank you that it's not by power, it's not by might, but Lord, it's by your Spirit on the inside of us, in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. So you are released to meet about the cool project.